This is CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, this is the Gareth Cliff Show. I'm Sia, in for Gareth this week. Because
Hi,
Vin. Hi to you too, Vin. And hi to you too, Leo.
Hello.
Second hour of the show, Gareth will be back on the show on Wednesday. He's still living it up and living his best life in the UK on a bit of a family holiday. So he'll be back, I'm sure, with tons of stories to
catching a bit of Wimbledon.
What is he catching?
Wimbledon.
Okay, that one. No, don't think I've watched that or heard of that before. But we're here for the show. We have some news to get into, lots to discuss. But before that, just want to remind you about something very, very cool that we have here at CliffCentral.com. So it's our new podcast series, Guncast. Now, many people own guns for self-defense, but where do they stand legally? How is the security industry affected? And where do the police fit in? Well, Martin Hood is joined by lawyer and podcast host Roman Kabanak as they dissect the proposed amendments to South African firearm legislation on this week's Guncast podcast. So download this episode and all previous episodes now on CliffCentral.com, the Cliff Central app, or wherever you get your podcasts. So one to definitely pay attention to and one to definitely keep your eye out on. One to find out more about that, you know where to download it. This week's Guncast episode. So let's now get into Beyond Bitcoin with Sean Sanders. Good morning, Sean.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Fantastic, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, can't complain. All good.
Great. Let's get into some Bitcoin and cryptocurrency news, because I want to pick your brain on emotional biases this week. So firstly, when it comes to investing, can you explain or define what emotional biases are in this context?
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, everyone has biases, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, we make judgments about people, opportunities, political parties, and of course the markets. And when we analyze our world with our own biases, we put our observations through a number of these filters, which have largely come about through our personal experiences. So emotional biases essentially arise from impulse or intuition. And this is when our own experiences essentially collide with a prediction about the future. And they result in a sort of personal and perhaps irrational decision-making process. So it's all about how we feel and how we react. And it's impulsive. And because of that, they are really hard to control and mitigate.
Okay. And so given all of that, it is something to be aware of before and once you're navigating the world of cryptocurrencies, right? Your emotional biases.
Oh, yeah, no, certainly. I mean, the top two most common emotional biases are overconfidence bias and loss aversion bias. And these are probably best explained with some examples. So, I mean, I think we all know that guy at the braai or the dinner table that's talking about some new cryptocurrency or investment opportunity and how this is going to be the next best thing since sliced bread. And to their core, they believe that they have an edge over everyone else. Mm. And essentially, this is overconfidence bias. A person with this bias believes that their skill or their knowledge as an investor is better than what it actually is. And then there's loss aversion bias. And this is essentially where you have a cryptocurrency, or it could just really be any investment, that is down so much that you can't stomach the thought of selling it. And back in reality, though, if you sold it, the money that is left could be reinvested into higher quality investment. But true. Because you don't want to admit the loss has gone from a computer screen to real money, you hold on in the hopes that one day you'll be back to even. So you're avoiding or averting the loss, and that's loss aversion bias.
So if I'm in a situation right now where I want to be aware of these emotional biases, how do I prevent investing based on my emotions?
For most people, it's pretty much impossible. I mean, investing is quite an emotional journey. I know very successful guys. They're mentors of mine who have been professional traders and investors for over 30 years, and they tell me that their emotions get in the way of what they do on a daily basis. But what they tell me separates them from amateur investors is that they know exactly which emotional biases they're feeling, and they know how to react to them with certain strategies. Mm-hmm. So I would say it's a two-step process. Investors first need to mitigate their biases by understanding and identifying them. And then once they've done this, they should create some kind of investing rule or strategy to, you know, say immediately sell or wait a day, or, you know, talk to a friend and kind of implement these strategies during emotional times.
Okay. And I hope at this point it's just not all doom and gloom. Could like Revix help us overcome our emotional biases?
Yeah, so we try to take a lot of the guesswork out of crypto investing. And instead of being overconfident or bullish on a single cryptocurrency, we offer a diversified basket, or as we call it, a bundle of cryptocurrencies, okay, which turns your focus away from individual cryptos and the overconfidence and fanboy nature that comes with gambling on single names to kind of focusing on the overall crypto market's growth, right? Then the second way we address these biases is by automatically selling the worst performing cryptocurrencies on a monthly basis. Mm-hmm. We do this when we rebalance our bundles, which means that you're only ever holding the largest crypto names in the market. And this prevents the loss aversion bias. So if an investment goes down, say 20, 40 or 60%, it's out of your portfolio before it ever gets to that point in time. And for this month, and this is a shameless plug here, we can essentially remove all the biases from the crypto investing process. This month, we're offering a risk-free investment month,
okay,
which means that you can invest with us for 30 days anytime this month. For a 5,000 Rand deposit, you essentially can have your investment risk-free. That means that you keep all the upside if your investment returns a positive amount, and if it goes down, we'll cover any shortfall.
So this is any of your crypto bundles in the month of July, and Revix will be able to guarantee your investment for a whole month.
That is true. And you'll just need to deposit 5,000 Rand. And when you sign up, just enter the code risk-free. That's risk-free.
Okay. And that is how we'll guarantee our investment. Where do we go to sign up? Where can we get more information?
Sure. Just head over to www.revix.com. That's R-E-V-I-X.com. When you're signing up, it's a 2-minute sign-up process, and just enter risk-free and you'll be on your way to a risk-free month, emotions excluded.
Yeah. Terms and conditions apply and emotions excluded. That's the way it is. Sean,
amen.
Sean, thank you so much for chatting to us.
Fantastic. Hope you have a great week. Thank
Likewise.
You.
Awesome. Catch up with you next week. Thank you so much. That's Sean Saunders with the Revix team with Beyond Bitcoin. Something just to, you know, fill you up with some info, know a little more before you go around investing.
I went to their site last week and opened up an account there. It's pretty simple.
Hmm.
Oh.
Okay.
Because it's like you get
Did
exposed,
you put money in the account?
I put Ronts in
wow.
there. Yeah, I put money in there.
You parted with money?
Yeah, because there was this really cool bundle, which is like 80% of the top performing. Like, it's just that's exactly what it is. So rather than like fixating over what the price of Bitcoin is or Ethereum is, whatever that, you just had this bundle which is being held by these guys. And it's so true. Like, we do everything on emotion. That's what makes us so stupid as humans. It's like same with sport betting or how you deal with a lot of things. But at least this is like you're in the game, but they're kind of managing you and your emotions.
Hmm.
Very smart.
There you go.
Well, I'll tell you who's managing who in this situation. There's a South African teenager, he's 19, and he's a student in Joburg. He is suing his mom.
Oh, what?
For tuition fees, pocket money, and relaxation activities to the tune of 14,655 Rand a month.
Well, I don't mean to sound old, but I mean, back in the day, that kid would get a backhander to the face and he'd be lucky.
Jeez, you're not kidding.
And he would carry on with his life better off for it.
So full names aren't revealed, but the mum's name is Lona. She's 55.
Lona. She's interesting name. Weren't you money out of her?
Okay, you just got it.
Shame.
She's a personal assistant. She says she's heartbroken because her son Thomas is taking her to court for maintenance.
Yeah, but you've raised a little prick here though, Lona. So maybe this is a tough lesson you have to learn at some stage.
Well, you know, the problem is that it's also a broken family. That's where this is all coming in. He matriculated from Parkton Boys High and is now a first-year accounting student at WITS.
Mm-hmm. So he's privileged of beyond note there. He went to a good school getting a tertiary education.
He's obviously, his dad's probably the one who's mainly footing the bill, because Lona earns 27,000 Rand a month before deductions. And she has no idea why her son even thinks that she can afford this maintenance. She drives a second-hand Hyundai i10, which her aunt gave her. She rents a one-bedroom cottage in West Dean. She recently had a nervous breakdown because of all this drama. So her son's claiming money for accommodation, even though he lives with his father. Money for groceries, personal care, clothes, medical aid, pocket money, lunches, extramural activities, 500 rand per month for vacations or relaxation.
What?
And 2,200 for tuition. 5,000
rands a month for vacation.
Yeah. His father, Craig, says, all I'm saying is that I support my son in his case.
Okay, so he's a real prick. I mean, let's be honest.
That's what I'm thinking.
So, you know, this father-son combo is meant for each other. Why must Lona be drawn into this?
Yeah.
This is more surprising to me because it's happening in South Africa.
Yeah.
We hear of these cases all the time. In America, someone is going to sue their neighbor because there's a tree in the neighbor's yard that's blocking their sunlight. You know, something so silly and frivolous.
Mm.
But I've never heard of a case much like this in South Africa.
And it is possible. Ruette Oosthuizen is an attorney who specializes in family law. She says it's possible for an adult to claim maintenance from his parents. Both parents are liable for the maintenance needs as long as they have proof. So the whole thing as well is that the child's expectations can vary because the parents choose to give them a certain lifestyle that they're accustomed to. And by law, they're not supposed to take that away from them.
Yeah, but there's got to be a binding contract here because I could have wanted a golden toilet growing up. I couldn't then take my parents to court for not getting it.
Yeah.
No, but I think
if it's not agreed upon in actual contract, then it's just me being a little prick.
I think what the term is here is similar to the principle of spousal support. You've now gotten me accustomed to a certain type of lifestyle. So now you can't just take that away from me all of a Saturday. If you had that golden loo when you were growing up for 16 years and your parents then took that away, I think then by this explanation, you can be able to defend that.
I had a piano that my dad took away. I'm just thinking. It was a baby grand.
I love how you say that as you look yonder into the distance.
Take him to court, Leanne. Take him to court.
Yeah, just
throw his ass in jail.
With what money?
He had no rights. If you
get money for Revix, then you can pay.
You'll be my Revix dividends will pay for your court.
It is so shocking to me.
It's how shameful.
People can do this.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely shameful.
I can't imagine it. I really cannot imagine taking my parents to court on these grounds to say, oh, how dare you? Well, you took me on holidays and you paid for my extramural activities and my first car.
What a liberty.
And I want that now. I want all of that money. You know, I watched over the weekend, it's interesting, it ties into this. I watched a documentary called The 400 Million Pound Divorce. This is a lady in the UK who was married to this uber rich man who then cheated on her and he wanted a divorce. And for about 11 years now, she's been fighting for settlement, saying, no, he's worth 400 million pounds and I deserve it. And how dare I now have to move into this one bedroom flat? And, you know, when I was accustomed to living in mansions, and at the time they even moved to Miami because, oh, they felt like a change of scenery. And she was so convinced that she's entitled to this money. I'm not saying I don't empathize with her. I'm not saying that she didn't go through a lot emotionally. But is it really your money? Like, where do we draw that line? And at 19 years old as well, how much do we have to cry for you as opposed to, you know, get up and do something for yourself?
Mm. No, I think it's atrocious. Look, we don't know the full story. For all we know, she could have been abusive or an addict and got herself into trouble, maybe a gambling addiction. You know, for all we know, there could be so many different angles.
Mm.
But still, I think it's despicable.
Yeah, for what we know and for all we know right now, yeah, to me, it just
doesn't sit well.
Right on. What's the total amount that he's suing for?
14,655 rand a month.
And the mother earns 27,000
before deductions.
Oh, Thomas, I'm so glad we don't know who you are, because I think you'll get a lot of shame mm-hmm. on social media from people.
Exactly.
Ben, this seems to really have your attention. Can you explain more about this Michael J. Fox show?
Well, it was a show, Sia. That was it. It was a show about him. And that's all I can tell you.
And this is official. He made a show based on himself.
Yeah, I managed to find a trailer to the actual show.
Okay, let's listen to a bit of it. Yikes.
You order dishwasher?
Dishwasher.
There's a good reason Michael Henry needed to go back to work.
You know what I'll do? I'll call my wife on her cell phone and she will straighten this whole thing out.
911, what's your emergency?
No, 911? No, I didn't call 911. You know what I did? I called 917, but I missed out. My drugs haven't kicked in. No, I'm fine. Hello?
Staying at home was just too dangerous.
NYPD!
Fine, I said I was fine on the phone.
Doesn't matter, we have to respond. Since we're both here, can I get you to sign an autograph? My uncle's got Alzheimer's.
I've actually got Parkinson's.
Either way.
For 20 years, he's poured everything he had into work. Now he pours it all into us.
Wake up!
Yay!
Come on, people, who's sure is it to set the table? Are you wearing that? What, are we driving a Zamboni to school?
In the Grapes of Wrath, Ma and Pa Joe'd escape the Dust Bowl.
My dad's condition is the Dust Bowl of my family.
I'm failing you.
What?
The whole thing was manipulative.
You can be my hero, Daddy.
I beg to differ.
He's from Pennsylvania. He's not as funny as he thinks he is. He wears hats like they just fell off a shelf in a store, and whatever way it landed on his head, he just keeps it like that.
You're just gonna let it sit, like...
What? It's a hat.
Enough with the kale. We get it. You're white.
You put those things away. You're sharing the kids. Sup, Aunt Lee?
Oh my God. You catch more flies with honey.
You gotta give the flies diabetes.
Yo, 5 o'clock news. We love you, bro.
Thanks, man.
Okay.
Thanks for that.
So it tells the story of the fictional character, Michael Henry. This is a character who gets a diagnosis of Parkinson's disease, and in the series he's a news anchor and now stops working in news and focuses on his family.
Well, it lasted a year. But
you're being very kind. It lasted a couple of months.
Yeah, but it's kind of cool that you could at least find humor in the condition.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean,
I think it was an important thing for him to do, I suppose. And there were so many people who didn't understand the condition.
But I mean, like this, with YouTube being what it is, I mean, like, he could have started his own, like, I don't know, cocktail making show on YouTube.
Smart.
Okay.
I know. Oh, that is.
Oh, Ben.
Shaking it up with Michael J. Fox. Shaken.
I suppose if he sees the humor in
not
it,
stirred.
Michael J. Fox, shaken not stirred.
You know, there's certain celebrities who, I think, whether we like to admit it or not, really made a lot of headway when it came to our knowledge about certain health issues and diagnoses, sure. And it's not the end of the world. I nearly said Michael Jackson. Michael J. Fox, for what he's done, really has been tremendous. I also think, like, Magic Johnson, what he's done in the HIV and AIDS sector. It's like, oh, actually, it's not the end of the world. I'm not about to die.
This is if you're rich, yeah.
Yeah. That's the other thing. If you're in America and you don't have health insurance, yeah, or even if you do, it's still a problem.
You just shed on my point there.
Like, there's a big difference between, like, living with cancer and Breaking Bad, you know?
Anyway, someone messaged us, 0797482090. That's where you can message us as well. They didn't leave their name. They said, Ben, Michael J. Fox also acted as a lawyer in The Good Wife, and he was excellent.
Yes, he did. He did.
Oh.
And obviously the character had Parkinson's as well.
But that's just it. He's, like, just nailed that whole Parkinson's thing. So if you need an actor with Parkinson's, like,
yeah,
it's me.
Oh, well.
But that's the thing. Like,
he's carved out a niche for himself.
Making the most of, like, a pretty shitty hand, so to speak. Sorry. That was completely unintentional.
Oh, my God, Ben.
You
know you've jinxed yourself now. You'd better go and get tested for the gene.
Ugh. Got so much coming towards me in that regard.
What do you mean?
I'm the same. I've got all the cards in the family.
No, why are you guys so pessimistic?
Oh no, I mean, no. I think health wise, I'm fine. I've said so many dodgy things over my years.
Then you've jinxed yourself. You're convinced.
Okay.
Something's coming your way.
Yeah.
What health cards are
in my family?
Well, we know Leanne's got everything.
There's everything.
Guys.
Heart illness, cancer, epilepsy,
really?
Gangrene, every kind of cancer, stroke.
Do you want to
alcoholism?
You want to light a candle here? Let's just get some good energy.
We need some sage.
Yeah, I need some sage to just air the studio out. There's a lot going on there.
Well, maybe I'll be a feat of nature. Who knows?
Okay, that's it.
I've got this far.
Okay. You know? Okay, Leanne. What else is in the news?
So, you know, Steve Hoffmeyer is not in everyone's good books at the moment after his little tweet, which ended up not being little at all.
Which one at this point? I've lost count.
Well, one of them was, sorry to offend, but in my books, blacks were the architects of apartheid. Go figure, for instance, right? And MultiChoice decided it won't carry content from him or any of his performances on any of his platforms, etc. Well, Afrikaans musicians are now joining forces to celebrate Steve Hoffmeyer's music career. In the wake of these controversial statements about apartheid. So,
wait, there are musicians who want
to band Demi together Limoe, to celebrate. Monique Steyn,
Steve.
Dierwald Wasserfall, Jack de Priester.
So all the big
Peter
names.
Smith.
All the big names, basically.
They are doing a Donkey Steve concert. And now what I find quite interesting is that the concert's been organized by the cultural organization called Federasie van Afrikaanse Kultuurverenigingen, which is FAK, F-A-K. I'm not making this up. It's the truth.
You just really can't make these things up.
So, yeah, I mean, a few sponsors have pulled out of the Afrikaanse Groot Music Festival because of this whole Steve thing. So he's now getting support from fellow musicians. Just thought I'd let you know, in case you see the Donkey Steve concert, which is advertised. You'll now know what it is.
I'm trying to...
And can decide whether or not you want to go.
Well, I'm just trying to formulate what I think is a just opinion on this. And I don't really know. I always believe that, you know, everyone has freedom of speech, but with freedom of speech comes the responsibility of what you say. You have to take responsibility of that. And you also have to just brace yourself for the repercussions, whether you think those repercussions are just or not. So I'm not saying Steve should sit down and keep quiet. Sure, go ahead, Steve. If you feel like that's what you want to say, go ahead. But get ready for whatever backlash will come your way.
You have to understand that before you start your rant. Honestly, it's not rocket science.
Yeah, I just don't know where I stand on the result of it all. Actually, you know what? Screw it. If people want to support him and they want to make a concert, so be it. Go. Yeah. And those who believe and support him will go to the concert. And if you don't support him, then don't go. It's as easy as that. You don't have to sponsor or partner if you're a corporate who doesn't believe in him. Then don't do it. And then we move on. Let's not pay this any mind.
Yeah.
You know, if people still want to also separate the man from the music. We've seen many cases of that recently. There's still some people who will say R. Kelly is the biggest freak of nature. But whoa, when I Believe I Can Fly comes on.
And man, Michael Jackson.
You two step away and you snap your fingers.
Yeah.
True. Clayton messaged us saying he should stop studying accounting. He can't calculate that. His mom can't afford that claim.
That's the kid. He's first year accounting.
Very good point. Very good point.
And then Syllabite says, Michael J. Fox also acted in the Spike Lee movie, Now You See Me Yesterday. Okay. He's kept a bit of...
Spark Lee.
Spark Lee? Okay. So Michael J. Fox clearly is a hit. He's here, he's there, he's everywhere.
Well, as Leanne said, he's moving for a shaker.
Yes. He's doing his thing.
Guys, I don't like this anymore. Don't talk about...
Listen, he makes jokes about it, you know.
Yeah, can we just avoid all of these puns now? I don't know if you've heard about this, but I found Yeah, I just rolled my eyes when I learned about the story. So there's this university in the United States called Mason City School, and they have said that their school has these unhealthy competitive levels among students. So what they've now decided as a high school is that they will no longer recognize a valedictorian beginning the next school year. Now, valedictorian in South African terms, I think we can equate it to like the ducks of the school, or, you know, the smartest pupil according to the school marks. So they've said that because, you know, they don't want unhealthy competition within schools, and it just is not working for the school overall, and young people, they're now going to write this off.
Oh my gosh.
Right?
So just don't honor them at all.
No. They say the change, which they've announced recently, is one of several aimed at improving students' mental health. The high school will also transition to a GPA scale with a 5.0 maximum. So under the current system, the students who earn a C grade or higher in advanced placement, honors or college credit plus classes earned an extra 0.3 points to their GPA. So that's their overall score. So now there's no GPA cap in place. So students, you know, don't have to chase higher and higher GPA scores. They said that kids were using their summers, using time during the year to stack themselves up with even more classes, and this they deemed very unhealthy. So now they're just going to scrap all of that.
So weird. When I was at school, it was almost embarrassing to do well. You know, the consensus was that you were a nerd and that wasn't a good thing.
Mm.
And obviously things changed dramatically after that. But it's strange to see how our culture has shifted completely, swung to the opposite, and how people are literally killing themselves to get to the top.
But I'm sorry, isn't this how life works? There'll always be a number one.
Yeah. Everything will always be measured.
Yeah, there'll always be rankings of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that this is, I get, and kudos to them if they feel like this is the best thing for curbing mental health for students, but I don't think it is. I actually think they're screwing the students up a bit because they will now have the cushion of high school where, of course, everything is so perfect and fine. Then what happens when you leave high school?
Yeah.
How are you meant to place in university when university says, okay, for this course, we'll only take in 100 students?
Yeah.
Now it's almost a shock to the system for these pupils. What happens at job interviews?
Mm-hmm. What happens with appraisals and where you're assessed? What happens if you're if you work in a business where you have clients and they want to see their figures and their statistics?
Mm.
No, it doesn't make sense. Not to me.
Yeah, this is, I think this is just hugely, hugely silly. I don't know why they've decided to do this. I don't know how it was even justified or who went about making this decision. But also they've decided that they will start school a half hour later beginning in the next school year because later start times are associated with higher attendance and improved grades as well.
Is this like real proof to back it up?
Oh my word. So are they going to start work half an hour late as well? And just say, sorry, I went to the school where we come in half an hour late. No.
So then what's prize giving going to be like? Entitlement.
That's what it's doing.
What is prize giving going to be like? Or then they won't have prize giving anymore.
It's like taking away Christmas for some people.
I would actually be pissed as well if I was one of these hardworking pupils.
Mm-hmm. Or just clever.
We know at school there were those group of kids who lived for prize giving, who lived for getting their tests back to see their scores and be able to compare it with others and to be able to show off. And good for them. And so I would be pissed if I put in my hard work, if I was, you know, and students in high school are feeling the pressure, for example, of applying at university and they're doing their community hours and they're involved in sports and they're get their academics well, to get everything amazing on paper. And then I now discover that my school is scrapping all of these merits. I'd be pissed. Yeah.
No, I don't agree with it at all.
Yeah, Cindy messaged us and she says, this new way at the school is madness. What's the point in doing well? Why study at all? The real world is not like this. They are making a big mistake.
The real world has become more and more competitive.
Yeah, exactly. That's such a good point. It's like, you're only going to go into the real world, right? They haven't created this parallel universe for this fluffy crap to exist.
There's no way for them to go but into the real world.
Yeah, it's the only way. It's like if you were like a turtle, okay, or a tortoise, whichever way. Your only way is the ocean. So why
would
you
be a turtle? Otherwise, a tortoise would die.
Yeah, okay, so a turtle. So if you're a turtle, you come out of your egg, and then you got like, I don't know, a car to drive or some shit. Like, it's just stupid because
with a half an hour head start.
Yeah, it's like you're going into the ocean, so you got to do ocean stuff.
Mm. Yeah,
turtle.
It's nature.
Yeah, they're screwing the kids up properly with this. Mm. Someone else messaged us on 079-748-2090 and they said, after listening to the show on Friday, I really think Leah needs to have her own podcast about her life.
Oh, my word.
I'm sure it will be the most downloaded podcast because Leanne has lived.
I think Leanne and Gorge should have a podcast about lives.
Just be called lives.
And then the two of them get a guest and they completely ignore the guest because they talk about themselves. I think that'd be a great podcast.
Today we've got so-and-so joining us from so-and-so and then like we just
really,
ignore them.
Really big names. Hi, great to be here. Anyway, so other day.
Gorge, you were saying that.
Great show.
What did you reveal on Friday? I'm trying to think.
There's always
now.
Something. I mean, I have to let it out little by little. Otherwise, you guys will, you know, it'll be too much for you and you'll disown me.
It would be overwhelming for us to take. Yeah, yeah, sure.
I've got to, you know, keep some people in my life. Can't chase everyone away with everything all at once.
God burden us with all of this. Hey, folks, can I tell you about something juicy that I've been keeping my eye on?
His name?
It actually, it is a he, but not in that way. Do you know who Tony Robbins is?
He's that motivational speaker guy.
Yeah, the big self-help guru, motivational speaker, author, goes around the world, having these conferences. We brought this up a couple of weeks ago on the show, just because it was initial, that there are some women who are going after Tony Robbins saying that they've been assaulted or groped by him in some way, shape or form. And that was just the beginning of the case. Now, BuzzFeed News, apart from all of their weird quizzes and whatnot, BuzzFeed also does a lot of investigation and they follow cases and they'll speak to people and they'll spend weeks on end on the investigations. I really do think they have some of the best investigations in news. So if you ever get bored, go ahead to BuzzFeed News. Anyway, BuzzFeed has been keeping tabs on the story for the past couple of weeks. They've been investigating Tony Robbins's staff. They've been chatting to people who've organized his conferences. They've been chatting to the family members of some of his staff members. And BuzzFeed has been able to unearth that there are now 9 more former Tony Robbins fans and staffers who've come forward to accuse him of inappropriate behavior. This is Tony Robbins, by the way, who has built, it's easily in the multi-billions of dollars, his empire of books and tours and DVDs. And he's worked with, you know, Bill Clinton personally. He's worked with Donald Trump at a point. He's worked with the Kardashians, Serena Williams, Oprah as well. And he's also...
And now his reputation's going to shit.
He's also a freak. So do you want to hear some of the
because ultimately
sworn statements?
These guys are getting so drunk on their own product, and he thinks he's his own Jesus.
And what he says goes.
He thinks he's invincible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, look, I'll be the first to admit that this guy's done good work. Like, he is a proper motivational speaker in that he's quite smart. Like, I've heard podcasts with him in, and he's made terrific points.
But and to then bring it to that earlier point, with Steve Hofmeyr, I think a lot of us right now are slightly conflicted about, okay, well, can we separate the act from the person And then where do you draw that line?
Yeah.
We aren't saying that his advice isn't great. We aren't saying that he doesn't make you feel fired up and feel like you have a whole new lease on life.
Mm.
But
like Bill Clinton having an affair could very well not have affected his presidency, his work.
Mm.
It probably did, but it doesn't necessarily have to.
So just as a bit of a disclaimer, Tony Robbins and his legal team deny all of this thus far, but there are three women who have worked on three separate instances as Tony Robbins' personal assistants, and they've all said that Tony at one point or another has exposed himself to them.
Ooh.
A fourth assistant has once said that Tony Robbins once asked how she felt about nudity during an interview for a personal assistant job.
Oh my word, that doesn't make sense at all.
So what sort of hours are you comfortable working? Tell me about your previous work experience. And how do you feel about nudity?
Yeah.
In a job interview, that's bizarre. Two former bodyguards who worked with Tony Robbins have admitted that they were sent on numerous occasions at conferences of his to go out and troll audiences for attractive women for Tony.
To do what with them?
Get the good-looking women, take them backstage.
To sex them.
Sex things.
Then you see whatever will happen afterwards. So his lawyers have previously said he was, inverted commas, never intentionally naked in front of staff.
You know...
Sounds like a Harvey Weinstein kind of thing.
It's not like he works in Vegas like Celine Dion and wears a dress that could expose her underwear, or he could have a nip slip.
Or you go backstage and you quickly have to change into the next outfit. I don't know what this...
There is nothing. There is no excuse for being potentially naked for him.
Never intentionally naked in front of staff. So they continue to say, to the extent that he may have never been unclothed at various times in his home or in hotels when working while either dressing or showering, and whether a personal assistant may have been present for some reason at that time, Mr. Robbins has no recollection. Oh, sure. He just forgets all of a sudden. In a statement that was also provided by his lawyers, one former personal assistant wrote that she had never witnessed any inappropriate behavior by Robbins, and that if Tony ever crossed a line with me, it was that as a father figure. Another said that Tony had never exposed himself to her and showed the utmost discretion when showering.
Okay, so it's not happening while he's in his office and he's unintentionally zipping down his pants and exposing himself. It's happening in hotel rooms and things like that, or his home.
Here's another example. At another event back in 2017, a conference attendee named Kara said that she witnessed an intervention in which Tony told a woman who was depressed to grab her breasts while she talked about the death of her sister and violent politics in her home country.
Because grabbing your breasts links directly to those things.
This is so weird. Now, at first, and the reason why it intrigues me, at first I thought, no, this is a lie. People are making this up. But there's so much proof around this. Another conference goer once said that Tony actually called them a loser, said they must get over whatever they were going through, and was just really, really insensitive. And I thought,
well, that's just lazy motivational speaking. It's cutting, you're a loser. Tyler telling you what maybe to do. You're a loser.
Maybe he was trying the tough love angle.
I thought, this can't be true. But now there's a clip of one of his sessions where Tony basically berated an abuse victim.
She likes to call it emotional abuse. What the fuck is emotional abuse? Are we that fucking weak that someone can't tell you with passion what they fucking feel without them abusing you?
Tell me about that.
What led to that? What role did you play? I'm not suggesting there's any excuse for hitting women, so hear me. But I also want you to know that people don't just act a certain fucking way. But what I find when I usually dig in and I take the time, what they call abuse, is a relabeling of they didn't like what the person said or did. Has he loved you? Has he looked out for you? Has he put up with you when you've been a crazy bitch? Have you ever been a crazy bitch? Ever? Probably. Shouldn't this guy be out, strung up, and shot? The way you described it, he certainly should. And I would normally join you if I didn't know you were lying. Not that you're lying that he is not behaving ways that are great all the time, or even harsh. But just, I know by your body that you're lying. I know by the words, I know by the context that you're lying, because nobody is evil in every moment, or you wouldn't have been there for 7 years.
Well, I mean, look, that's, context is key with these kind of things.
Absolutely.
Because it's like, you take things in isolation, they can be horrendous.
Yeah. Like when he said
the full story,
something about a crazy bitch, the woman may very well have said in the session, and then he said, I was a crazy bitch.
Mm.
So he might just be using her words. Yeah. So
I just think
I don't 100% believe the story.
You don't?
No, I don't think there is enough proof. People could be just trying to take him down.
Which is true.
Yeah.
And it happens. That happens when you get into the spotlight. People will try to take you down. But the whole grabbing of breasts while you tell a story, I mean, that's maybe pushing creative license a bit far.
Yeah, there was also a person who said that Tony once made them drink this weird juice thing at one of his conferences and basically just put a whole bunch of nasty tasting things together just to embarrass them on the spot. So I believe where there's smoke, there's fire.
Mm.
Yeah, but that fire is coming from hot coals and it makes you walk over to feel
you
it.
See?
And also, yeah, here in South Africa, we eat grass when our pastors tell them to, and we accept doom being sprayed into our face.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, look, I mean, a lot of people who go into Tony's realm, not that I'm defending Tony, if he is falling foul of this kind of stuff, they go in there because they're obsessed with magic, so they're mostly stupid to start with. And unfortunately, Tony will take advantage of that if he is. It's not exactly like a shock.
Mm.
It's like, oh, wow, I gave this motivational speaker all license to do and think and say whatever he wanted. He maybe got a bit power hungry and he touched my breasts. Like, it's not a shock. I'm not saying it's the right thing that should have been done, but
you are
putting yourself in a position where you might have weird things done because you're putting yourself in this realm where you're just giving up everything.
You're uncondoning his behavior if he did do it. Right. I hear what you're saying.
In life, some things aren't mysteries. People can't be naive the whole time.
Mm.
You got to understand these things. It's like if you're a young girl and you're hanging around Jeffrey Epstein at any time, there's a good chance he's going to molest you. I'm not saying Jeffrey's entitled to do that, but he's a pedophile.
Mm.
Okay, like he's just been arrested for sex trafficking of minors. So if you are a parent who has a young girl going to Jeffrey's yacht, good chance she's probably going to have innocence taken away from her, not just her coat on arrival.
Yeah, this is the billionaire we spoke about once upon a time.
Well, he's now beaten him in for the last 10 years. It's been hanging over his head while he supplied women to people like Bill Cosby and Bill Clinton,
yeah. And he built that private island of his that people were trying to stop the plans of. But
exactly.
Yeah.
You just, this naivety that people go, oh, but I didn't know. Like, shut up. Like, you just got to make more of an effort. At least you're a dumbass in life.
And for me, it also just goes back to how some people live in their own yes world.
Mm.
And they have yes people around them. This is how people just go crazy with power. When you have power and means and money, I'm not surprised that these stories come out. I'm not condoning it. I'm not saying, oh, maybe we should be more lenient with them or a different standard needs to be associated with them. But you get so accustomed to it. You know, you get a book deal, you go on tour, you do a multi-conference talk around the world, and then they start asking you, what would you like as your refreshments? Then it's, what hotel would you like to stay at? Then how many thread counts? Then it's now like, sure, okay, let's see how much more I can push the boundaries. It's my yes world.
Yeah, but like when people say, oh, people who, like women who get hooked up with sports stars and go, oh, he broke my heart. It's like, no shit. He's got the emotional capacity of a 9-year-old child. And you want to think he's going to settle down with you and only you? Like, no.
Ash says on this topic, people often say people falsely accuse these guys of abuse to take them down. But I don't think that happens very often. Can you recall any cases of that even? The only one I can recall is a woman who accused Stan Lee. That turned out to be an extortion attempt. But I've not heard of even one other case of false rape accusations in the public sphere.
Yeah, it's difficult to remember, but also we tend to forget these things. So, you know, an allegation will come up and we just let it go. Mm. And we never think about it again. And no one pushes to investigate it.
Yeah, that's a good point, Ash. I am trying to, in my mind, think of who has, like, cried wolf and has been called out on it because it's been discovered later that was actually not true.
Yeah, where a woman is, or an accuser has had to pay money, you know, as part of an apology or make a public apology.
Right.
No, I don't think I've heard of that.
And I think even if that was the case, we often see that a little later on, after there are three or four genuine cases, and then maybe there might be a sixth or seventh person who climbs on with no proof whatsoever. But there's always an email somewhere, there's always a text somewhere, there's always some level of proof of someone being shady and dodgy. You know, Harvey Weinstein had how many accusers? 40,000. Maybe there might be some who are false, but I think let's look at and focus on the ones who've genuinely been abused, who've genuinely felt victimized, and who are trying to speak out about this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, just another day in the life of the rich and famous, I say, right?
Yes, exactly.
Anyway, goodness, guys.
Let's return to our normal lives.
And try to stay away from creeps and freaks, I say. Well, thank you so much for having us on this morning. This has been The Gareth Cliff Show. Leanne, have a good day.
You too, Sia. See you tomorrow.
Ben, have a good day.
Yeah, I'll see you tomorrow as well.
And I hope you find your keys.
Yeah, me too.
Sorry, your face dropped there. Did I just remind you again of something?
Forgot about that.
Just to remember, he has to go all the way home.
Okay, and to you, have a very productive day. We'll see you tomorrow morning on The Gareth Cliff Show.
This is CliffCentral.com.